I've always said that everyone at some point in their life needs to work in the food service industry. There's just something about doing that that gives us a different perspective on so many other things. And we become better tippers when we work as food service.
Amen.
But even bigger than that, it changes the way we treat other people, especially people who are serving us, when we've done a similar job ourselves. Now, in the same way, I think if you're looking at it in terms of Christian ministry, before anyone can be a senior pastor, that person has to have worked in youth ministry at some point. I once had a friend who used to be a youth minister, and he told me a story. When he was younger, he took a group of kids camping. And after this week-long camping trip with teenagers, he came back and he asked the senior pastor if he could have a few days off. And the senior pastor was confused. And he said to him, "Why do you need time off? You just got back from a week-long vacation with the youth group." Talk about being tragically out of touch. Now, thankfully, my situation for the many years that I served as a youth minister was very different because my boss had actually spent time doing youth ministry when he was first ordained. And so he understood how difficult of a job it was. And he also recognized how important the ministry was. And so he was always ready to give me whatever it was that I needed. I remember when I first got to the church, I noticed we had a large youth group, and we had one tiny little room that was supposed to be our youth group room. And I said, this just isn't enough. I need two rooms twice the size of this room. And I had worked in ministry long enough to know you can make requests all day long, and usually nothing happens. But my boss immediately went to our board, which is called the vestry, requested funds, and a week later, the demolition crews were there knocking out walls and giving me two beautiful big youth group rooms. Now, there's no way I could have done this on my own. Had I simply gone to the vestry and asked for money, they would have laughed me out of the room. But because I had an advocate who had status and understood where I was coming from, it actually just sailed right through without anyone even batting an eye. Well, in some ways, this is what our reading from Hebrews is about this morning. But before we explore this reading a bit more, we need to get some context for the Jewish high priesthood, since that's kind of the background for this particular reading. Now, when God gave the people of Israel the law, way back in the book of Exodus, he set aside the sons of Aaron, who was Moses' big brother, to be his priests, first in the tabernacle and then later in the temple in Jerusalem. And these priests really served as a bridge between God and his people. Their job was primarily twofold. First, the priests were in charge of making the sacrificial offerings to God on behalf of the people. And secondly, they served a more pastoral role, looking after and caring for God's people. So in a nutshell, the job of the priests was to bring God to the people and the people to God. And the high priest was essentially the head priest for the year, kind of the rector that year. And one of his jobs was to enter the Holy of Holies in the temple and offer the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But with this context in mind, let's take a look at our reading from Hebrews. In verse 14, we're told, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession." A major theme of the letter to the Hebrews is that Jesus is superior to everything that has come before him in the Old Covenant. And the author shows us how Jesus here is the ultimate high priest. In fact, he is the culmination of the Jewish priesthood, and he's far superior to any priest that came before him. Because Jesus is God, part of the eternal Trinity, he is able to actually stand before God the Father because he is without spot or stain of sin. But because he is also fully human, he is able to bring our human weaknesses before God and make intercession for us. As Hebrews puts it, "For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So why is this important? Why does this even matter to us? Well, perhaps an illustration would help. Back in olden times, and I mean like real olden times, not the 70s, individuals accused of crimes usually had to go and face a judge all on their own. And this could be incredibly intimidating. After all, those who were typically accused of crimes were from lower classes, while judges almost always came from the societal elite. And to make matters worse, the accused didn't usually have an intimate knowledge of the law, and sometimes wouldn't even fully understand what they were being accused of. So needless to say, it was pretty hard to get a fair trial, and many peasants went to their deaths due to a lack of a proper defense. Now, our founding fathers in the United States saw this particular type of judicial system to be inherently unjust. And thus, in our country today, we are guaranteed legal representation, whether we can afford it or not. So now when people go and stand before a judge, they don't do so alone. Instead, they have a lawyer who advocates for them on their behalf. This is essentially what the Old Testament priesthood did for the people. But as I'm sure we all probably know, not all lawyers are great. I once served on a jury where the defense attorney could have just left well enough alone and we would have acquitted his client. He proceeded to put his client on the stand and give him more than enough rope to hang himself. So, of course, you want your lawyer to be competent, to have a comprehensive knowledge of the law, and to understand the intricacies of judicial proceedings. But there are a couple of things that can make a good lawyer a great lawyer. One is familiarity with the judge. The better your lawyer knows the judge and his or her personality and sensibilities, the better he or she will be able to advocate for you in front of this particular judge. But it's not enough to just know the judge. A good lawyer has to know his or her client as well. If I'm on trial for stealing a loaf of bread to feed my starving family, I don't want a lawyer who has known nothing but wealth and privilege. I want a lawyer that knows what it's like to be hungry and desperate. I want one that can relate to where I am. Now, for most of my ministry life, I've served in communities with high military populations. And so I've had the opportunity to work with a number of military chaplains. And for the most part, these are great men and women who do a wonderful job of ministering to our armed forces. Most of them go into the military as chaplains. But I found that the best chaplains are men and women who served in the military before becoming chaplains. Because of their experience, they share a perspective with the people they serve that most chaplains simply don't have. They know what it's like to be pinned down in a foxhole or to stand watch in the pitch black of night. They can better relate to a soldier with PTSD after being hit with an IED, or the airman who struggles with guilt over innocent lives lost in a strategic bombing. And this shared experience makes these chaplains easier to approach and talk to, because the soldiers and the sailors and the airmen know that they've been there themselves. Well, my friends, we do not worship a God who is far off and out of touch, because He has lived the life that we live. He has shared our human experiences. But because we worship Jesus as exalted, it can sometimes be easy for us to forget about His humanity. And while He Himself lived a sinless life, He still experienced everything about the human condition. He got frustrated and hungry, just like us. He experienced pain and sorrow, joy and excitement. He had fun with his friends, and there were times when he just needed to be by himself. And because of this, Jesus is able to stand perfectly in that gap between us and God. He knows God intimately because He is one with the Father. He existed before time began, and it is through Him that the world was created. But at the same time, He knows us deeply because He lived a human life and experienced everything that we have experienced. In verse 16 of our reading today, the writer of the Hebrews issues a stunning invitation. He says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This statement, this invitation, would not have been possible before Jesus. A few weeks ago, we talked about the temple and how it was the earthly dwelling place for God's presence. But people couldn't just go and bask in God's glory and God's presence in the temple. There was an inner room in the temple called the Holy of Holies, and this is where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was essentially God's throne here on earth. And this room was separated from the rest of the temple complex by this huge, heavy, thick curtain. And no one was allowed to go past that curtain into the Holy of Holies except for the high priest. And he could only go in once a year, and he had to bring with him the blood of a sacrifice. And so the message is clear. You cannot approach God. When Jesus dies on the cross, Matthew tells us that this curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, again, this is not a cheap Walmart low thread count curtain that you could easily tear. So just the fact that this huge, heavy curtain tears in half is pretty remarkable. But what makes it even more amazing is the message that it sends. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we are now able to approach God directly through Him. There's no more separation between God and man. There's no more need for an earthly mediator between us and God, because Jesus is our eternal mediator. When we go before God in times of need, Jesus is there beside us, advocating for us on our behalf. So through Jesus, we have full access to God. There's no longer anything standing between us. There are no barriers or huge curtains keeping us out. Each one of us has the ability to approach our Heavenly Father and to bring Him our pains, our praises, and our petitions. And we know that He will hear us when we do that. And so I'd like to conclude my sermon today with a simple question. And maybe it's not so simple. But what are we doing with this access? I mean, let's face it. If I had full, unencumbered access to the President of the United States, you better believe I would take advantage of it. I would be in the Oval Office every day asking for advice and for favors and maybe getting the stoplights timed differently so I wouldn't hit them as much. I mean, I would not take that kind of access for granted. I would use it to my absolute full advantage. Well, we ought to have that same kind of attitude regarding our full and unencumbered access to God. This is why we are called to be people of prayer. One of the things I started doing this Lent is keeping a prayer journal. And so I have it on my computer, and each time I write in it, it feels like I'm writing an email to a very close friend. The only difference is that that friend is the Creator and Lord of the universe. What a joy it is to be able to communicate directly with God through Jesus Christ. And I know that He hears me because I can see the fruit of those conversations through answered prayers and divine guidance. And so I want to encourage each one of us to take advantage of this incredible gift that Jesus has given us from the cross. If you've never prayed before, you don't need to be intimidated. You don't need to use fancy words or long phrases. You don't have to say, "Dear Lord, we beseech Thee to vouchsafe," so forth and so on. You don't need one of us wearing fancy robes to do your praying for you. Simply speak your heart to God and allow God to speak His heart back to you. The more we do this, the more we ourselves will become formed in His image. And the better others will be able to see Him through us. Jesus, the great high priest, has torn down the curtain of separation, and He invites us into the Holy of Holies to dwell in God's presence forever. He then calls each one of us to be His priests on earth, pointing all people to the One who died so that we might be able to approach God with confidence and receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thanks be to God. Amen.